So I'm sure many of you who are as old as I am can reach into your memory banks and recall seeing The Princess Bride a few times. And if you fall into that category, then you know exactly what I'm referring to when I say marriage is what brings us together today. And if you've never seen the movie, then you just think your pastor is even a little more insane than you did when you walked in the door this morning, and that's probably okay. Just as long as you know I'm bringing you a word from God, you can think I'm as weird as you want to. And you'll probably be right. But we are here to talk about marriage today. And as I was preparing for this series called Restored, I was praying about all the things that God wanted me to address when it comes to areas of our lives that he wants to bring healing, he wants to bring strength, and he wants to restore. And marriage kept rising to the top of the list as I prayed about this. And as we talk about marriage, there's something for everyone in the room. And some of you, you're like, oh, great, he's going to talk about marriage. This doesn't apply to me at all. But there is, because everyone in this room is either married, will be married someday, or knows someone who is married. It doesn't matter what stage of life you find yourself in. There's something God wants you to know about marriage because it will either help you and strengthen you or help someone else through you. In our culture, getting married is known as tying the knot. That's one of the phrases we use to describe getting married. But here's the thing. Anyone can tie the knot. It doesn't take a whole lot. You know, we're building a house right now. And we're using a lot of different contractors in that process of building the house to do different parts of the construction process, tile and insulation and roofing. And there are a ton of classes and a ton of permits and steps you have to go through to get licensed and bonded in different fields of construction like those. To get married, really all you have to do is show up and get a license from the county. So what does that entail? $82. That's all it takes. $82 and you can get married. It really doesn't take a whole lot. It's not hard. Anyone can tie the knot. In fact, you don't even need to find a pastor or a priest anymore. You can go online and your buddy can get ordained with some organization out there for a couple bucks himself and you're good to go. All he's got to do is sign that license and you're set. What we want to do is move beyond just tying the knot. Just getting married. What we want to do is we want to take you to the next step. We want to help you to tighten the knot. We want to help tighten the knot. Tying the knot is great, but we want you to tighten the knot. You see, when you tie something off with a knot, you're trying to protect something. You're trying to protect something. That's why we tie knots. We're trying to keep something from falling apart. We're trying to protect something that needs to be protected. If you are rock climbing, and you tie off to something while you are rock climbing, you make good and sure that knot is tight. Nobody goes into a rock climbing environment and just kind of says, that knot's good enough. I'm sure it'll be okay. Your life is valuable, and if the knot is securing something valuable, you make sure it is good and tight, and you don't just tie it off and forget about it. You are regularly checking the knot to make sure that the knot has stayed tight. You check it that to make sure it's not coming loose. Eh? Not coming loose? Eh? You like that? I'll be here all morning. Today, we're going to take the first steps towards tightening that knot because no matter how healthy your marriage is or how broken your marriage is, there is always room to grow. I remember Melissa and my wedding day, vaguely. You know, it's been a long time. But seriously, that day is such a whirlwind and such a blur anyway that you look back and it's like, I don't remember 75% of what happened that day. I have no idea. So I'm not going to bore you with the details mainly because I don't remember most of them. But it was a great day. And today actually was our wedding anniversary. Today is our wedding anniversary. Today we're celebrating 18 years, 8 months, and 9 days of marriage. So, thank you. Thank you very much. It's pretty awesome, huh? But today, seriously, in all seriousness, today is Melissa's birthday. So, it's easy to remember. Tax day. So, Anytime you're filing your taxes at the deadline, just remember, it's my wife's birthday. So please make sure you tell her how amazing she is when you see her today, because she is absolutely incredible. But for so many of us here in America, we have put all of our effort, all of our energy, and all of our work into tying the knot. And it seems for a lot of people in our culture, once that knot gets tied, we forget about the knot and we just assume that knot is going to hold forever and we forget about tightening it. You know, the average wedding in America now costs $32,000. What? The average engagement ring today costs $6,000. I am so glad I got married 18 years ago. Holy Pete, that is a lot of money. That's a ton of upfront money to make sure that the wedding day is amazing, something that you probably won't remember over half of 18 years later, to get the knot tied. That's $38,000 they've invested just for that one day. How many people invest $38,000 over the course of their life together to make sure the knot stays tight? God wants to tighten the knot in your marriage. When it comes to marriage, you will have good days and bad days. That's normal. We all do. You'll have times when you laugh with each other and times where you feel like you don't even know the person that you're riding in the car with. You have times where you look at your spouse and you can't believe how blessed you are to be married to them. And then you have other times where you think to yourself, I have no idea what I'm doing. That's just the men in the room. So what we want to do today is we want you to know that you are not alone in your struggles. You're not alone as a single young adult trying to find the right person. You're not alone in your struggles as a newlywed trying to figure this whole marriage thing, life together out. You're not alone in the things that you faced in your 30s or 40s and having kids and having more kids and the chaos that ensues as you try to juggle schedules together. Maybe you've been divorced and you're wondering what the path ahead even looks like. Or maybe your marriage is just barely holding on and you don't know if it's even going to make it. You're not alone and there is hope for you. Even if that hope is a cloud the size of a man's hand out on the horizon, I want you to know that hope is there. Maybe you've lost a spouse. God has not left you alone. God has given you relationships and friendships in this community that he calls the church, the body of Christ. God wants you to be whole. He wants to restore you. He wants to restore your relationships. He wants to restore your marriage. So let me take you this morning to the scripture and show you that in the Bible, Jesus had some things to say about marriage. And I'm going to take us first to Matthew chapter 19 as we learn how to God wants to restore us and how to tighten the knot. Jesus spoke about marriage, and he was actually quoting from the Old Testament. In Matthew 19, a conversation arises about marriage and divorce. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to test him. And they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Now, there's a lot of cultural context going on here relating to the time of Jesus specifically. And I'm not going to give you all the background here because it's not all that important. But basically, in their culture at that time, a man could divorce his wife if he gave her a certificate of divorce for any reason whatsoever. And at that point, a woman could never divorce her husband for any reason at all. That's just the way it was in those times. And the Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus with a crafty little question about divorce, and Jesus responds to it in this way in verse 4. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? So he's referencing Genesis here. He's referencing God making this entire world, Adam and Eve, a male and a female, and there is design in God's creativity. It wasn't random, it wasn't accidental. When he created two physical genders. But it's not just physical, it is emotional and it is spiritual. Two genders that God created that can create human life. God even gave the physical ability and anatomy for male and female to reproduce more image bearers of God on earth. And he gave them the command to do exactly that. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill this earth with my creation. Then Jesus continues, and he said, for this reason, for what reason? Marriage, relationship. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Is there anything that screams tying the knot more clearly than that? Jesus is saying there is something that happens in that moment, and it shouts the need to tighten the knot. Here we see two people completely different. Just like us, we are all very individualized. And what does God do? God ties a knot together between these two very different people. He takes a male and a female, and he brings them together in this relationship and says, this is my design. This is my idea, and it's good, and it's going to reflect my glory, and it's going to reflect my gospel, and it's going to be a testimony to the world that the power of Jesus Christ can take two proud and self-centered individual people and put them together in a relationship where they learn to deny themselves and to live for Christ and to love each other and to serve each other and to care for each other. That is the way that God designed marriage. That is what marriage was intended to be. Now, unfortunately, what I just described doesn't represent very closely what society today thinks about marriage. We've come a long way, and it's probably not in a great direction. And then he says in verse 6, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, in other words, what God has tied, knotted together, let no one separate. In other words, don't unknot what God has knotted together. Don't untie this knot that God has purposely declared as a good thing that he designed, that he created at the beginning of time. So today we want to talk about how to tighten that, how to restore to God's original purpose what marriage was intended to be, to tighten the knot that God puts together in marriage where a man and a woman come together and they literally become one flesh. God unites them supernaturally as one. And let me show you the scripture quickly that Jesus is referring to all the way at the beginning of time in Genesis 2. So the Lord God calls the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for I saw her and said, whoa, man. No, but she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father. I had way too much coffee this morning, so I'm just telling you. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is not just a clever way. Marriage is not just a clever way to avoid doing taxes separately. It's not something we made up because we thought it was better than just hanging out by ourselves. This is God's idea. God ties that knot, and then we get the opportunity by God's grace to tighten that knot. At the very beginning, God tied that knot, and God immediately established a relationship between a man and a woman, between Adam and Eve. And guess what happened immediately after God created this institution of marriage? Guess what? Satan immediately attacked it. He immediately attacked it. What did he go after? The first thing Satan goes after is this marriage relationship that God has established and tries to drive a wedge between Adam and Eve. And so who are we to think that Satan would stop attacking marriage today if the very first thing he ever went up against was this relationship between Adam and Eve? He is absolutely attacking the core and the fabric of marriage in our world today. He has never stopped. And as I prepared for this message, I prayed over this a lot. And I want to say this as clearly as I possibly can this morning. We are here in this series talking about how God restores, how he makes new, how he takes what is broken and he makes it whole. So boldly this morning, and by the grace of God, I declare to our enemy, the devil, that he has no right and he has no authority to a single marriage at Trilogy Church. Amen. And I want to say with authority, based on the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if God created marriages and if God ties that knot, God wants us to keep those knots tightened. And by the grace of God, Trilogy is going to be a place where we see that happen. And we see marriages that are going to be restored. And people who thought it was over are going to be made whole again. There are some of you right now thinking it's already too late. And right now God is telling you, no, it's not. From before Trilogy had its first service, when we were still having a Bible study, God birthed a dream in my heart that Trilogy would be a healthy church growing healthy families. That is the dream God gave me from the beginning, that we would be a healthy church growing healthy families. And the statistics for our community around us, guys, they are not good. Nationally, about 10% of households are likely to be divorced in the next year. About 10% of households in America are likely to be divorced in the next year. For a 5-mile radius around where you are seated right now, 5 miles around us in any direction, the likely to get divorced in the next year, 27%. That's just not okay, church. That breaks my heart, and it breaks God's heart, that many marriages are on the ropes. They're ready to collapse. So not today, Satan. Not tomorrow, not anytime in the future. We are the people of God, and this is the house of God, and we are his sons and daughters, and we are going to obey what God tells us in his word. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, a dark cloud needs to be removed from some of your marriages. Because there are people who call Trilogy home who could be walking in freedom and abundance and the full life that Jesus promised, and they are barely keeping their heads above water because Satan has got them gutted over a marriage that God wants to bless. And church, it's okay to be mad about this. It's okay. There are people who are not all they could be spiritually because their marriage is suffering, because the enemy won't leave them alone, and they're settling for less in their walk with God because the enemy has kept them on the ropes in their relationship with their spouse. We need to stand with one another. We need to stand in prayer with one another, and we need to see God restore. This is not something we wink at and just not talk about. This is certainly not something we gossip about. This is something we should get fired up about. The world is watching us. Our relationships matter because they reflect the sacrificial love of Jesus and what he has for us. Because Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross for us. His spirit now living in us gives us the ability to lay down our rights, to lay down our privileges and our preferences for our wives, for our husbands, so the world can see a true representation of who Jesus is and his love for his church. The marriages in our church will thrive. They will do more than just survive. They are going to be a testimony to the world that the God we sing to on Sundays is real outside of our worship gatherings. And I want every married couple in this place this morning to believe that. I want every person who has been through a divorce to believe that God is going to make them whole again. I want every person who plans to be married or married again someday to stand on the promises of God's word with me that he has something better for me than what the world is offering me. Because he does. So let's take a look at a few quick things that you can do today to begin the restoration process in your marriage, or in your future marriage. And the first thing I want you to see is this morning. Marriage was God's idea. And here's the thing about God's ideas, church. They're always smart and they always work. They're always a good idea and they always work. Some of you are down on the institution of marriage. Here's the thing. If you call it an institution, you're not starting out on very good footing. Because institutions are where they put crazy people. And maybe that's true in some of our marriages too, but that's not the point. The point is that some of you have never seen a good model of what a biblical, Christ-centered marriage should look like. Your parents were not a good example. Your grandparents were not a good example. Your neighbors are not a good example. And you just haven't been around a couple who models what sacrificial love is all about. Guess what? That's why this series is called Restored. Because we're all broken. There's not one of us in this room who is whole and perfect and complete. We are broken people that God is in the process of restoring. That is why every Sunday when I pray during the service, I always include in the prayer that by the end of this service, that God would make us a little bit more like Jesus. Because that's what we should strive for all the time, because God is restoring us. Yes, we are forgiven. Yes, we do not have to deal with the penalty of sin because Christ paid that for us. But we are looking at the reality of who we are today, and who I am is saved and forgiven and still somewhat broken. And I'm striving every day to become more like Jesus. Just like Paul made the statement, he's like, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I can't help but do. And this is saved Paul. This is on the other side of bright light that blinded him on the road to Damascus, Paul. This is Paul who's been saved, had a personal encounter with Jesus. He's still saying, yeah, I mess up all the time. So I want you to know, you are broken. I am broken. God knows that. That's why Jesus died for you. That's why Jesus died for your marriage. Our ideas are broken. We live out broken models of broken dreams, and Jesus came to restore all of that. John 10:10, the thief's purpose, the devil, is to steal and kill and destroy. And that includes your marriage. Because, church, let me just pause for a second. If the enemy can get into our marriages, he will tear apart everything in our lives. That is why he attacks marriage. That is why marriage in our culture is, it's a joke in comparison to what the Bible teaches us marriage should be. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to end you. And he begins by attacking our families and our marriages. But the second half of this verse gives Jesus' mission statement. It says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. God wants you to have a happy marriage. He wants you to have a blessed marriage. He wants your marriage to be rich and satisfying. But the enemy wants the exact opposite for you. And we need to know what to do to experience the victory that God wants to give us. And the first thing you need to do is to begin asking God to show you. What does that look like? To show you what a healthy marriage looks like. To show you what a healthy you looks like in a healthy marriage. Specifically, pray about this. Ask God. In fact, while I am still speaking this morning, there's nothing stopping you from praying a quick prayer. Yes, Jesus, that's exactly what I need. I need you to show me. From your word, show me. In my heart, show me. Speak to me. Show me what this is supposed to look like. What married me is supposed to look like. Then give me the supernatural strength through your Holy Spirit to make that dream become reality. And maybe you're not a flowery prayer. And how about this one? Jesus, help me, please. I can't do this alone. I need you. Boom, done, drop the mic. That kind of prayer, God loves. Marriage is God's idea, and he wants it to be what he intended it to be. Second thing I want you to note is this. If you want to get closer to your spouse, don't pursue them, pursue Jesus. If you want to get closer to your spouse, don't pursue them, pursue Jesus. Now, some of you think you just need to love your spouse harder. Because, man, our marriage is not what it's supposed to be. I'm kind of bored, and I've been going at this kind of lazily for a while, and we've just been married so long. It's like, I know everything about her. She knows everything about me. There's nothing new and exciting, blah, 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 blah. And I just want you to say, the answer is not to love your spouse harder. That may come into play, but it doesn't begin there. Because we think we just need to do more, and we kill ourselves trying to be the person that they want us to become. Well, I know my wife wants to be this way, so if I just become that, then our marriage problems will end. Here's the thing, you will never be everything your spouse needs you to be because you were never intended to be everything your spouse needs you to be. You realize that, right? I mean, as a matter of fact, if you go into marriage thinking that your spouse is going to be your source of fulfillment, you have just doomed your marriage to a lot of unhappiness because nobody is big enough to satisfy you but Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And Jesus is not only the way to heaven, he is describing more than just a path to eternity there. He is the way to the life God intended for you to live now. He's the path to the you God intended for you to be. And the best you can bring into your marriage, the best you that you can give to your spouse is the you God intended for you to be. And that person will never exist without Jesus at the center of your life. Look at it this way. You want to be closer to your spouse. Your spouse wants the same thing. So you pursue Jesus, and they pursue Jesus. And no matter where you are, how far apart you are from each other when you start, if you are both moving towards Jesus, you're getting closer together. Doesn't matter where you are when you start. If you're both moving towards Jesus, you're getting closer together. God will naturally draw you closer as you both pursue him. Now, I want to pause for just a second because there are some of you who are married to someone this morning who doesn't want to make things better. They have no interest in pursuing Jesus. I want you to know I am so sorry, and I am praying for you daily. I pray for your marriage every day, even if I don't know your specific situation. I pray for marriages in Trilogy daily. And all I can say to you this morning is pursue Jesus enough for both of you. Let your spouse see you loving God with everything you've got. And then love your spouse the same way. Wear out the knees on your jeans praying for them. Pray the roof down for them. Believe that God is going to change their heart and be ready to forgive them when God does exactly that. But you're responsible for you. Do what you can and leave it in God's hands. Finally, I want you to hear this. Love is worth sacrificing and fighting for. I love my wife. I love being married, not because we tied the knot on August 6th, 1999. That's not why I love her, because anybody can tie the knot. We've covered that. The wedding is where you tie the knot. Marriage is where you tighten the knot. Marriage, day in, day out, sleeping in the same bed, sharing a bathroom, dropping off kids at school, picking up kids from piano recitals, baseball practice, youth group, orthodontist appointments. What is marriage? Marriage is where you tighten that knot. When 6 out of 8 of you have the flu, and the 2 that didn't get the flu are the 2 that don't know how to wash a dish or make cereal. That's where you tighten the knot. No, the wedding is a beautiful day where everybody puts on their best and shows up and brings you presents and they smile and they celebrate and you come back from the honeymoon and you realize, I've got to learn how to live with this person here every day. That's where the knot gets tightened. Some of you don't even know where to start. It's been a long time. My suggestion to you this morning is just do something. Make a move. Reach out with the simplest word, a brief word of encouragement, a handwritten note to your husband, a text to your wife. Love is more than something you feel. Love is something you do. It is sacrifice. That's why when somebody tells me I've fallen out of love, I'm like, baloney. You can't fall out of love. You make a decision to love. Maybe you don't have the same emotional attachment as you once did. Now that I can wrap my head around. But as far as love is concerned, that's a choice you make or you don't make. We get tired and we stop fighting for love. We stop putting the other person above us. We fall in love, life happens, and we forget how to love, and then we stop fighting for love and we give up. And it doesn't have to be that way. We can reverse this by doing this. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And if we will fix our eyes on Jesus, he will give us the ability to fight for love for as long as it takes. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And I understand some of us are in marriages where it feels like an endurance race every day. But God wants us to keep running. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus and then fight for love forever. I didn't say fight with your spouse forever. I said fight for love forever. We all want a quick fix, but God wants you to fight for it, no matter how long it takes. But there is a first step, and for some of you today, that first step is just having a conversation. The first step is just talking to your husband or your wife. That first step is leaving the service this morning and calling your spouse on the way home because they didn't come with you and saying, hey, I'm sorry for how I've treated you, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to tighten the knot. I want you to know, church, you're not alone. Your marriage may not even be at the end, but you know it could be better. And as the worship team comes back up to join me this morning, I want to share with you something that as a church, we want to help you. More than just a Sunday morning sermon, because here's the reality, guys. Sermons don't often change people. It's what you do on the other side of the sermon. I know that's hard for me to admit as a preacher. But sermons don't often change people. It's what you do on the other side. It's the application. It's how you live it out. That's why our neighborhood groups are so important. Because we change and we apply things best in circles, not in rows. This is where I just yell information at you. But when we get into circles and we begin to dig into one another's lives and we share what's going on and we talk about how do we live this out, what we heard from Pastor Jeff on Sunday, that's when it becomes real. And we are launching a brand new ministry here at Trilogy called Reengage. Reengage is a small group style ministry that will help move your marriage forward. It's going to move your marriage from average to great. It's going to move your marriage from struggling to great. Because here's the thing, God doesn't want you to have average. He wants you to have great. He's going to move your marriage from broken to great. Reengage is an amazing opportunity for you to connect and grow and to begin to thrive in your marriage. There are people who have gone through this program and they've been married for 36 years and they thought they had it all going on and everything was great and never any problems. But the problem is they didn't have any problems, but they didn't have anything great either. There was no life in their marriage. It was just coexistence. They lived in the same house. And they went through this program and God awoke something in them. And their marriage became something it had never been before. And so we're going to be launching this ministry. Our first group is going to kick off next month. We've got limited space as we begin this and we kick things off. So if you are interested in participating in this as a couple, I need you to talk to Sean or Chris Ann Mayfield. One of them will be at the Welcome Center after service today, or maybe even both of them. And they can answer any questions you have, let you know what you need to do to jump into a re-engage group. And they will give you all the details about that. But guys, I believe this is going to be transformational for some of the couples in our church. Be willing to fight. Maybe your strength is gone, but be willing to fight. Not with the weapons of our own, not with our own strength. Here's how we're going to fight the enemy's attack on our marriage. We're going to tighten the knot by admitting we are helpless without Jesus. And by falling on our faces before God, who promised that nobody could separate what he brought together. We're going to lean into the gospel. We're going to trust God's promises. We're going to make bold moves like apologizing, repenting, like making an appointment with a marriage counselor, like spending some of that money you've been sitting on for years to take your family on a vacation, like turning off the phone and focusing on your spouse. We're going to do whatever it takes to fight by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit for the marriages that God promised no one could ever separate. And I want us to close this morning with a prayer together. And I want you to understand something. There's not... you know, a magic pill that you're going to walk out of here this morning and everything's going to be perfect from this point forward. It's going to take work. It's going to take determination. To go back a few sermon series ago, it's going to take grit. It's going to take that ability to just say, I'm in this, and I am going to do everything that I can personally to make this as good as God wants it to be. So we're going to close with a prayer together. Would you bow your head with me? And if you happen to be sitting next to your spouse, would you reach over and take their hand this morning? Would you just be willing to pray this right now to Jesus? You don't need to pray this out loud, but I want you to pray it along with me in your heart. Jesus, I need your grace. Help me to reflect you in my relationships and in my marriage. Tighten the knot in my marriage. Restore me. Make me what you want me to be. Restore my marriage to everything you want it to be. I will fight for my relationship. Jesus, bless our church. Bless our community. Bless our marriages. Just keep your eyes closed for just a second. Maybe you need to fully trust Jesus with your marriage, and you need to say to God right now, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to surrender to you, Jesus. If that's you, I just need you to tell God right now in your heart, I will not give up. I'm willing to fight. I'm going to pray for you this morning.